Welcome back to Street Smart. Curbing healthcare costs made the list of the four key components of President Obama's budget plan. But is reform really the answer when trying to shrink the deficit? It's time for Reality Check with Véronique de Rougy. She's Senior Research Fellow for the Mercatus Center. And Véronique, good to have you here with Matt and me.
Thank you for having me.
Because healthcare is obviously a big issue. Let's go to our first myth. Let's just get right to it. And that is the myth number one, healthcare reform is deficit reducing. You say the fact is healthcare reform will actually increase the deficit. We've got a chart for everybody. It shows the budgetary effects of healthcare reform versus healthcare legislation. How does this, Véronique, kind of support what you say is the fact that healthcare reform will actually increase the deficit?
So last year, President Obama and Congress passed a healthcare reform legislation. But there was a lot of things in that healthcare reform legislation, including student loan reform and the Class Act and a lot of tax increase. And what we heard a lot was that the legislation was going to cut the deficit by, at the time, it was $143 billion. And that was the case, right? If implemented as such, now it's more like the new estimate by CBO is more like over $200 billion. But if you strip all the thing that has nothing to do with healthcare, like the student loan reform, mm-hmm. the Class Act, and the taxes, then the healthcare aspect of the provisions actually increase the deficit by $400 billion.
So we just look at the healthcare aspects
yes.
of reform.
Yes.
Shocking, right? Adding 30 million people to coverage
exactly.
increases the cost?
No, exactly.
Really?
But I mean, it's interesting. The myth comes from the fact that commentators always, they conflate both. The legislation, right. which we call healthcare reform legislation, but should really be called healthcare, student loans, long care act, tax legislation, and the healthcare reform itself. And they're not, they're the same thing, but not exclusively. And you have to assess the legislation not only on its cost, but yeah. you can't say that the healthcare provisions decrease the deficit because it's not true at all.
Although not a surprise that Washington does that, as they do so many things in yeah. that way. Let's talk about myth number two. The U.S. healthcare system is a free market system. This is a myth that probably a lot of people already don't believe. The fact, roughly half of all healthcare is paid for by the government. That, I have to say, is pretty shocking. Half of all healthcare in this country is paid for by the government. You have a pie chart here, a breakdown of the health insurance market for us. Why don't you walk us through it?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many people actually know that so much of the healthcare market is actually paid for by the government. Because, I mean, like as Peter Suderman, I remember during the healthcare debate last year, he's at Reason, he kept saying, when you listen to that debate, it's as if, you know, the free market is about to collapse and it's going to be a government takeover. When, in fact, this data shows that there's already this massive takeover, right? When over 50% of the market is basically government spending, you don't really have a free market.
Where do you see, just as an aside, where do you see a true free market action in this country? I mean, what industry?
Yeah, not maybe at my house.
You yeah.
know, that can function as a...
Fair enough. All right, let's get to myth number three, and that is Medicare spending increases life expectancy for seniors. You say the fact is actually that higher life expectancy is a result of access to care, not Medicare spending itself. And we've got a chart to illustrate this point. Death rates in the United States before and after 1966. Why 1966?
Well, so that's when the Medicare legislation was implemented. And the reason why, I mean, I looked into this is because there's a lot of worry, right, about what happens if Medicare spending is cut. If we reform Medicare, a lot of people say it's going to actually jeopardize the life of seniors. And so this chart, which is based on data by a MIT scholar, Emmy Finkelstein, actually looked at projection trajectory by age of life expectancy for seniors in the period right before Medicare was passed and right after. And what you show is that there's barely any difference. What is more interesting, I think, is the fact that to the extent that there was, after Medicare, an increase in life expectancy, it was because of the increase in access rather mm-hmm. than the increase to insurance, the increase in the number of people having insurance. Basically, what was hurting senior before is like when they would go to the hospital, if they were black or if they were unmarried woman, they wouldn't get care.
So the access to care.
Is the access to care. And today, you know, we thankfully don't have that problem anymore.
So, I mean, is your net-net, though, then, that we shouldn't be looking at the health care component of the budget?
We should be looking at the healthcare component, but we shouldn't be,
we shouldn't be throwing it in legislation with student loans and tax increases.
So the
debate
shouldn't be whether it's going to really actually kill seniors or lower their life expectancy. It should be over whether we think it is normal for seniors to pay more out of pocket of healthcare rather than, you know, not paying anything out of pocket. That should be more the debate.
Well, so your question is, should people who use healthcare services more pay more for healthcare services?
Yes, rather than actually just, you know, just worrying that actually less government money going to seniors is going to hurt their lives.
Got it.
That's good news.
Got it. Véronique, thank you so much. Véronique Desrosiers.